Well, good morning. Top of the morning to you everywhere, wherever you are on planet Earth. This is Shai Danon with Raising the Frequency, and today I'm with a very special guest. Today we are going to speak with Michael Tellinger. Some of you may know him and his work. In the last, 10, 20, 30 years, I don't know, he will tell us. Please share this broadcast because we're going to speak about ancient history and truth and lies in this ancient history. Stay with us, be with you in a minute. Thank you very much. Yes, well, good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Shai. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. How are you doing? You're in South Africa, right?
I'm in South Africa, out in the eastern part of South Africa, in a province called Mpumalanga, which means place of the rising sun, about 3 hours, 3.5 hours from the capital of Mozambique, Maputo. That's where I am.
And how things over there? I mean, regarding the madness that is going in the moment around the world, or most of the world.
I think South Africans have woken up, are waking up very quickly to the scam, to the plandemic, to the lies, and to the attempted extermination of our people. So let's see, we need to get to a critical mass of awareness and awakenedness for this thing to stop. So as long as we are in the minority, they're going to continue oppressing us and forcing unlawful death cocktails on us, but that's changing quite quickly.
Excellent.
And very excited to say, And what just happened in South Africa last week, by the way, is that a certain case that came up from the Bill of Rights has basically prevented, not prevented, but has made it clear to companies, large corporations, and I'm talking one corporation that has about 35,000 employees, was the leading proponent in this. They stopped enforcing vaccines on their employees because they realized that they would be held liable for any damages if anybody has any side effects or negative effects from the vaccine. So that was a huge landmark that we reached in South Africa, when now suddenly employers and large corporations realize that if they force the vaccination on their employees, they're going to be in big trouble. So that is now suddenly stopped.
That's good to hear. I mean, just yesterday, I mean, I wish for the Israelis to wake up at least in such a way. And just yesterday, there was a letter being published about liability. And this letter is supposed to go to the parents, the mothers and fathers of children, so they can send this paper, this document, which is kind of declaration of liability to the headmaster of schools. So they know that if they proceed, with listening to the health office and its lies, they will be liable for whatever is coming. So I wonder what this letter is going to, how it will stir things up. And before we dive into, you know, we mentioned lies of agencies. So before we dive into lies that we've been told probably about the history of the world, if you can give the audience a brief introduction to who you are and your knowledge or field of expertise in the last 10, 20, 30 years that you've been on it.
Thanks, Shai. Now, first of all, I'm a graduate of Wits Medical School. Wits Medical School, which is the University of Witwatersrand, Johannesburg. For many decades, it was one of the leading medical schools in the world. I studied pharmaceutics. I come from the pharmaceutics faculty, graduated in 1983. I spent many years in the music business and film industry and advertising industry. And then by the year around 2000, I started to write and promote a new social structure that is very different to the kind of socioeconomic structure that we have today. And in 2005, I started to write a book called Slave Species of God. And that really brought quite a lot of attention. It became a bestseller on Amazon overnight. That led to the discovery of the ancient ruins in Southern Africa. And by 2007, I really moved here to Mpumalanga and started to research and explore the ancient ruins and ancient civilizations of Southern Africa, which has, prior to that, very little was written or known about it. I wrote two books about it called Adam's Calendar and followed up with Temples of the African Gods. And then in 2014, I launched a book or published a book called Ubuntu Contributionism, A Blueprint for Human Prosperity. So I pretty much study ancient civilizations, origins of humankind, and I now am in a very fortunate position to sit on the largest concentration of ancient ruins on Earth, which is here in Southern Africa. Yeah. I study everything from ancient civilizations to mainstream science and physics, genetics, and geology, because I need to know enough about all these subjects to be able to connect the dots. And that's, I believe, what I've done very successfully over the last 15 years or more, being able to connect the dots to make sense of the past and unravel the lies and discover the truths about the past and the human history, the history of the world, what I call the hidden history of the world. And by discovering and unraveling the past, realize what we should be doing into the future. One of the things that I discovered is the true origins of money. And once I discovered that in 2004, everything changed. And that's when I realized that money was not something that's here to help people, that money is a very cleverly orchestrated and invented tool of enslavement that was imposed on humanity many thousands of years ago and remains the primary tool of enslavement over the people of the world. So that led to the launch of the Ubuntu Liberation Movement in around 2009. That then became a political party. We almost launched the Ubuntu Party in Israel as well. We were very close to launching it in Israel. Ubuntu Party then ran with the concept of unity and higher consciousness for everybody, with a philosophy that if it's not good for everyone, it's no good at all. And we ran in elections in South Africa, UK, Australia, and almost in Canada and the USA, and almost in Israel. But then we realized by 2016, so I ran in three elections in South Africa as the leader of the Ubuntu Party. Wow. 2012, 2014, I ran for president. 2016, we ran in the 13 municipal elections trying to win just one municipality, at which point we realized that the election process is completely fraudulent, that the outcome is not what people vote for, that the outcome is predetermined, and pretty much it's absolute fraud. And realize that you can't inject a seed of consciousness into the political beast and try and change the country and our lives from within politics, because the political beast is controlled by much higher forces that have absolute control over politics. We see it everywhere. We see it in Washington, D.C. is the greatest example for anyone that follows what's going on there. Then by 2016, we removed ourselves from politics and we started the philosophy under the Ubuntu movement called One Small Town Can Change the World, during which process we take small towns and we use the tools of enslavement as tools of liberation to bring prosperity and abundance to the people of a small town. Because ultimately, the power lies with the people. And if the people of a small town take control of their destiny, take control of their businesses, and remove the control from the large multinational corporations that enslave all our people in the small towns, we can turn our small towns around very, very quickly and turn them into leading examples how small communities can become very successful, very abundant and prosperous in everything, and I mean everything. I'm talking science, technology, healthcare, finances, everything, food production, etc. Yeah. And that is now suddenly in 2021, after a year of lockdown, that idea, I believe, has reached its peak. And suddenly One Small Town is just taking off all over the world. And we are now not talking about it. We're actually now implementing the One Small Town after 16 years of preparation.
Well, it's like you almost like saying you needed the lockdown in order for people to move their butt and do something about it, because till then it was just, oh, how we should do it and let's talk about it and we need to understand it more. I think now more people understand what the word even liberty means. You know, there's so many things we can talk about, but I think, you know, if I look at governments, and you know, yesterday I did like a 2-hour show about world elite. I mean, all the royal families that live, whether it's they do the business and they live in Switzerland, Liechtenstein, Luxembourg, and obviously the Rome and London, city of London, etc. I mean, these places, as well as some of them, at least to an extent in Israel, but the majority is in Europe. And they've been pushing these lies down our throat for so many years. I would like to know a few things from you in regard to that. First, how we've been lied to about the history of the world, of the planet. And, well, I leave the second question to later, because this for itself is quite a big question. How we've been lied to, I mean, for those who start to realize that we have been lied to now, I want to add this aspect of ancient history and fake history that they've been shoving down our throat through the schools and through the education so-called system, how we've been lied to, and what should we know about our history?
Yeah, Shai, this is a very important question, and I really hope that your viewers take this very, very seriously.
They do.
So, you know, those that know my work will know that I constantly say everything we've been taught and told is a lie. And I stress the word everything. This is very, very important. You know, it's when you start hearing somebody say this, when I first heard somebody say, I must have been probably about, you know, 25 or so when I heard someone say everything we've been told is a lie.
Yeah,
I thought, yeah, okay, well, I can believe some of it maybe is a lie, but not, you know, they can't lie about everything.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's where we all become our own prison wardens, our own prison guards. And we just can't imagine how evil the global elite and those who have set themselves up to control the world from behind a shadow government or behind a curtain, like in The Wizard of Oz, you know. Whoever these people are that run the world like their game, like their little toy, like their game, like their playground, do whatever they want.
Yeah.
These people are untouchable. They have been untouchable and unknowable. We don't really know who they are. We guess who they are. But they don't leave anything to chance. And so the lies have begun a long, long time ago. I suspect that the lying began about 500 years ago when they sent the men in their ships from Europe to go and conquer the world. I think that's when the lying began, the serious disinformation about everything, because that's where you start seeing the foundation being written of what we believe the world to be and what we believe our history to be, about the world itself, about space, about the stars, about distant lands, about native cultures around the world, about their histories, their belief systems, about ships, about gold, about commerce, about money, and then water, it evolves about
water, magnetism, laws of physics,
science and physics is one of the biggest areas that they've been lying to us and keeping information away from us. Obviously, healthcare is another one. Yes. Energy and free energy is another one. So these are all the cornerstones of very advanced knowledge that if they allow people to understand and know how simple things really are, how simply we can cure all disease, how simply we can create free energy and have a beautiful world, unpolluted, beautiful world where we can solve all our problems, how simply we can create communities of abundance and prosperity, they lose control over the people. So the lies have to continue. And it starts with our history. Teaching evolution. The theory of evolution suddenly becomes the fact of evolution. The moment any academic at any university mentions the word creation or intelligent design, they get fired from their job and they can never, ever find another job. I'm not sure if you're familiar with a great documentary called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed or No Intelligence Wanted. It's presented by Ben Stein, a nice Jewish boy from New York or somewhere from the US.
I know Ben Stein, but I don't know this documentary. All right.
Yes. Please find his documentary called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed or Wanted. I forget the last word. Mm-hmm. It will blow your mind to see how they watch the global education system like hawkeyes, like eagles, right? And they watch with any academic steps out of line, they're immediately removed and they can never find another job. That documentary will send shivers up your spine. That's just an indicator how extremely draconian these puppet masters are at keeping their narrative, at protecting their narrative, protecting the lies that they're telling us. And obviously it starts with the education system, because if you can infiltrate the education system with textbooks and learning materials that have been poisoned and filled with lies, then we grow up believing these lies, because this is the first thing we learn at school. We learn everything that we know from our textbooks at school and from our teachers, and our teachers are instructed.
So even before that, I mean, as babies and little children before school, before the system, we are hearing truths from our parents, which obviously they've been fed these lies. So we take it even more for granted because it comes from mom and dad. So obviously it's the truth, you know, it's even more truth than the school. But yes, they've been lied to, they've been fed these lies. So, and it's going on for generations. And, you know, I want, just for the audience, can you give us some examples? Can you give us examples of, you know, truth and lie? I mean, how we've been lied to and what is the truth? It's like the opposite or the truth, even not the opposite.
Well, in my lectures, I always talk about the three holy cows of our education system, right? And the first one is that we evolved out of apes, that nothing can travel faster than the speed of light, and that energy cannot be created. Energy can just be converted from one to another. Hmm. From one form to another. So those for me in biology, history, whatever, is the three holy cows. And, you know, clearly anyone that understands the creative process and will understand that it's simply impossible for everything to have evolved out of particles bumping into each other. And understand the fundamental model of mainstream science and mainstream physics is that everything in the universe started from the Big Bang. And after the Big Bang, the universe was filled with tiny subatomic particles that were bumping into each other randomly. And everything in our creation, in the known universe, the visible and the invisible universe, is a consequence of accidental particles bumping into each other accidentally, creating everything we can see in the universe. So anyone that understands anything about science or physics will realize there's a huge problem with that. That's just simply, that's a nonsensical science fiction theory that was pushed into our schools and that is now sold as the main scientific fact about where our universe comes from.
Yeah.
And then they say, you know, we come from the singularity. Everything in the universe comes from the singularity, the tiny little point that was compressed into an invisible tiny little point, and everything in the known universe exploded from that. And you go, whoa, hold on. Just there's a whole string of problems with that statement that cannot be answered with any stupid or potentially intelligent argument from in the field of physics. So The whole theory of evolution, the whole theory of creation and the Big Bang theory is an absolute lie. They're very close to the truth, but they're not telling us what the truth is.
Yes.
So when they say, when we look into the most distant parts of the universe and we start seeing the edge of the universe, once you've started studying magnetics, magnetic fields, magnetism, and how sound, resonance, magnetic fields, and electromagnetism, magnetics are interconnected, you'll realize what it is that we're actually looking at. So this is the answers are very simple to those who go looking for the truth. Yeah. And I trust that you understand what I'm talking about. We're talking about toroidal fields, torsion fields, vortex fields, magnetic fields, perfectly balanced magnetic fields. And with that, you can explain everything in creation, and everything in us, everything around us, the seen and the unseen. So what happens is they take the truth and they create lies around the truth, so that by the time they've finished coloring the painting in with their lies, you can't see the truth behind the lies anymore. You know, that's how they do it. They're very, very clever at how they structure the lies, because you can't create a lie without the backbone or the thread of the truth in it.
Yes.
Because the truth has to hold up the lie. Otherwise, there's nothing solid to hold up the lie.
True.
And this is why they are so clever, so malicious, and so dangerous. And they make us doubt ourselves. They make children doubt their parents. They make, like today is a great example. Today, our children come from school and their parent and their teachers drum a whole bunch of lies into their heads. Then the children come home and they start arguing with the parents about what the education system is telling them. And the parents might be very wise, very, very well informed, very awakened. And they try to tell the kids, no, 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 don't do that. Don't take the vaccine. Don't do this. Don't do that, because they're lying to you at school. But the propaganda at school is so, so rich that the children start to argue with their parents. And actually, families fall apart because of this incredibly evil, mind-numbing, brainwashing propaganda that we expose our children to for 12 years of their lives.
Yes.
So those are the three holy cows of education. The other one is obviously that we've evolved out of apes. And the other one is that nothing travels faster than the speed of light. Obviously, that is absolute rubbish. That speed of light is light. You can't even talk about the speed of light. You know, we don't have time to talk about the science and the physics behind it, because speed of light is just the concept of the medium, because light only travels through a certain medium. So it all depends on how dense the medium is that determines the speed of light. So we can't even talk about the speed of light being a constant of anything or being light can never be used to determine anything in science or physics. It's a crazy notion.
Can you give us a bit from your knowledge or from your perception? And it doesn't have to be controversial if you don't find it, if it doesn't fit, but the shape of planet Earth. Again, from your perspective, what is the shape of planet Earth? And again, why we are being lied to? If there is a spiritual side to this lie, if it's not just about let's make money, I mean, for them, for the organization and charities and foundations and royal families, it's not just about let's make money. And it's not even just about controlling the human race. Maybe there's something bigger or larger than that. And why they need to lie to that extent, you know, if there is, from your perspective, any spiritual aspect to it.
There's always a spiritual aspect to it, because we are spiritual beings. All of us, each and every one of us, is a miracle of creation. We are all part of God. We are all one with God. If you go back to ancient civilizations and you listen to the prophets and the wise men and women of all the ages, they all tell you that God is within us. We are one with God, that we are all co-creators of our own reality. We are all co-creators of this universe, that we are divine beings of divine creation. And Max Planck, strangely enough, the father of quantum mechanics, was very well known for making the statement that nothing gets beyond consciousness. Consciousness is the fundamental foundation of everything, even the particles and the electrons, or the wannabe electrons that he was studying, were only there.
Wannabe electrons, all right.
Yes.
Thanks for that.
We're only there because of consciousness. Nothing can exist without consciousness. So this is really important, right? So like you can say, you know, a table only exists because somebody decided to make it. You can't just say, well, a table is going to construct itself. Somebody's, you know, the tree is going to chop itself down. It's going to make the wood, and then it's going to construct a table. No, somebody decided through a process of conscious thinking and consciousness and conscious intent to make a table and go through the process of making a table. So this is really important. So mainstream Nobel Prize award-winning scientists and particle physicists and quantum mechanicists, or whatever you call them, have been known for really pushing this agenda. But unfortunately, the mainstream does not push that agenda if they bring it up. They only use what they want. So to come back to your question, one of the greatest agencies of disinformation that has ever been set up is NASA. NASA is quite possibly the biggest and the most important disinformation agency of all times.
Yeah.
And I say that for the reason that NASA's job was to prevent us from discovering what our Earth looks like, what space is, and how the two are interconnected, and the fact that certain things are not possible. And to support what NASA has been doing since its launch, we see the influence in Hollywood movies and the science fiction movies, with movies like Star Wars and all the movies about space and traveling through space and so forth, I believe is a construct of the disinformation of the global elite, and they use NASA as that. So we don't have enough time for us to go into detail, but NASA has been telling us for many, many years that space is filled with water.
But
this is not a secret.
One second, Michael, just to correct you, you said global elite, and maybe you should say world elite. I'm not sure about the global side,
yes,
but go on, sorry.
Well, let's just go to NASA. So NASA has just pretty much shut down any kind of notion of what the Earth is, what the look might look like. Pretty much all the pictures we see from space are not real photographs. By now, many people are aware of that. All the, you know, the blue marble phenomenon showing Earth different years. It's always a different shape, different size. The continents are different sizes. It's just a joke. Anyone that understands CGI and manipulating visuals, the whole problem with the moon landing has been a problem ever since. So I do very extended lectures and workshops on the subject, go into all the different details about this. So this is not something you can just throw out there, because if people don't have the information, they will shut you down. They'll think you're talking rubbish. They'll say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. They go into self-defense because they're now defending their knowledge, and they don't want to, they're just defending what they were taught all their lives. And this is the problem. So cognitive dissonance, it becomes one of our worst enemies, where we simply do not want to accept new information because it confronts the knowledge and information that we already hold. So the process of the growth of knowledge is really important here. And I've had to go through it very painfully over many, many years. When I get new information and it completely contradicts what I believe, I have to leave it there and not fight it. So I always put it in file 13 and leave it there until I come back to it sometime later, when I'm more prepared to deal with that information, when I have more knowledge and information to be able to deal with that. So what NASA has done very, very carefully, I mean, this is spectacular, is they have completely confused humanity about space, what space is, what planets are, what Earth is, what Earth looks like. And yet, in between all the lies, they're showing us all the truth.
Good.
And that's the incredible thing, is that they keep showing us perfect toroidal magnetic fields, perfect toroidal galaxies, perfect toroidal supercluster galaxies, perfect toroidal solar systems and star systems. And then they show us the Earth that looks completely different. So in NASA, when you start studying NASA's research into galaxies and proto solar systems, they always talk about, the galactic disk, the planetary disk, the solar disk, and so forth. So galaxies are formed out of the proto-galactic disk, and the solar systems are formed out of the proto-solar disk. And they talk about the silicon particles, the silica dioxide particles, crystals, basically, that move in counter-rotating disks. So they're describing what a torus looks like. And a torus is a perfectly balanced magnetic phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And sound manifests, resonance and sound and frequency manifests into toroidal fields, or torus fields, or torsion fields, or vortex fields. Those are all the same words for the same expression. And the best expression is that it's this donut shape. So if you look at the donut shape, and it's got energy coming in from this side and energy coming in from that side in opposing directions. And where they meet in the center is known as the zero point. Yeah. And this forms a perfectly balanced magnetic field or a toroidal field. And at that zero point where they meet, you get what's known as an accretion disk. And those accretion disks, they look, you know, think of it as a CD, as a little CD with a hole in the middle. Yeah. And so the CD on this side will rotate clockwise this way, and the CD on this side will rotate clockwise that way. And those accretion disks rotate in opposing directions to make this perfectly balanced toroidal field. And this is a phenomenon and a phenomenal realization, discovery, how everything in creation, everything manifests in this toroidal field, from the smallest subatomic particles, if you want to call them that, to electrons, to atoms, to molecules, to the Earth itself, to solar systems, to galaxies, to supercluster galaxies. Everything manifests in toroidal fields. And yet that's not what they teach us at school. We don't even touch toroidal fields at school. Nothing. We don't get taught magnetism, nothing. And even the grandfather of mainstream physics, who should have been thrown out long ago, what's his name again? Newton. You know, Newton himself made the statement that he knows very little about magnetism. And so, you know, how can you listen to anyone who self-proclaimed says, I don't know anything about magnetism, so I won't talk about it, but I'll make up a whole bunch of rules that tell us how our world and our universe works. It's like, really? No, sorry. Go away, play in the sand and leave us alone. So unfortunately, the whole foundation for our knowledge-based science, physics, that affects astrophysics and affects what space is and what NASA is protecting. So NASA has been telling us for three decades at least that space is filled with water. Please go find one of my lectures on YouTube or join my private video channel, and you'll see that all the time NASA tells us that there's water everywhere. There's water on star. There's water in galaxies and supercluster galaxies are filled with water. They're shooting out gigantic bullets of water. Galactic sprinklers nourish galactic gardens. And then they tell us that there's water on the sun and that there's water on other stars. And in fact, that the conclusion now is that all stars have water. This is just incredible. You know, you just imagine if you go to the pub and you're having a drink with somebody and you tell the guy, hey, did you know that there's water on the sun? They'll think you're crazy because they haven't done their research. And yet that's what NASA has been telling us. The conclusion is that the sun is filled with water. I suspect that they're not telling us that the sun is water. The sun is actually made up of water because it displays principles that we experience when we experiment with water and create the sonoluminescence experiment, where you fill a body of water with light with sound frequencies, and suddenly you get a bright a bubble that filled with light that forms within a body of water. So once you understand the frequency, the sound resonance and frequency phenomenon, as Nikola Tesla spoke about, you find the solutions for everything in the visible and invisible universe. It is so simple, it is so spectacular, and so wonderful to realize that all that complex nonsense that they've been teaching us at schools and at universities, it's all made up crap. Yeah. That the truth and the nature of reality is so much easier and so much simpler, and that nature is all interconnected. Everything in nature works together. Nothing works separate from anything else. And this is why our education system is so fatally flawed, because we compartmentalize every subject and we don't teach our children at school how geology is connected to biology and how biology is connected to astronomy and how astronomy is connected to oceanography or whatever, how everything is connected. This is a spectacular awakening moment when people get to this point and realize how simple things are and how everything vibrates together in perfect, coherent, resonant harmony.
You know, I'm in my broadcast, sometimes I mention Genesis. And in Genesis, there is actually, it says it, the technology is there. Meaning the Spirit of God was hovering or floating on water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And this is inside ether or magnetism, using sound frequency to create light, which is sonoluminescence. Just you mentioned this word. And you know, it's quite amazing, because when I think about it, I'm not God, but I have these tools that are mentioned in Genesis. I have the spirit of God. I have my wisdom and my intelligence and the intention to create something good out of grace, you know, and I am full with water and the air is filled with water, like 40%. And every living plant or animal is like 92-98% water. I'm mostly water, using sound frequency with intention onto water creates light. And this is like, whoa, hang on a second. And this is the in the beginning of the bestseller ever, you know? So and people, even the religious people, never mind Jewish, Christians, Muslim, what have you, they neglect this part. It's like they miss it and they go to other beats and who killed who and who fight who. But hang on. This is physics, guy. I mean, this is, it says it all. This, the whole lies of NASA and what have you, they can be fall down just by listening to the I don't know the word in English, like the superficial or the, it's not superficial, but the first day of understanding text, you know, it says it all. This is the simplest way to read the text. Just read it. What you understand, this is true. It's out there. It's out there in the world. And I think this is really, really amazing. When people start to change their filters or their glasses, they don't need all the explanations. They can use their senses and their common sense to reach this very simple truth of how sound can manipulate or affect a magnetic field. And we can actually create light with sound and magnetic field, and obviously in water. And
so, you know, what you said there, Shai, is what you said there is really, really important. And thanks for bringing it up, because that's something that I talk about all the time.
Hey, you
and I always refer to the Bible as one of my favorite books, and that it's filled with very advanced scientific knowledge and the laws of nature, if you just know how to interpret it. And that opening phrase of the Bible is always one of my favorites. You know, the Spirit of God moved over the waters, and God said, let there be light, as you said. So that is what I call a crash course in quantum mechanics. Literally, it's that simple.
Yes.
It's a crash course in quantum mechanics. Anybody who understands sound, resonance, frequency, magnetic fields, electromagnetism will understand what that means. And suddenly everything becomes very, very different, changes. Everything changes. And you start to realize, oh, my God, maybe space is not what we think it is. And maybe NASA is hiding the truth in plain sight, like Hollywood movies hide the truth in plain sight. And maybe space is filled with water. Maybe water is the field that consciousness has been imbued with. The consciousness of the Creator has been imbued into the primordial waters, or the primordial seas from which everything manifests. And I'm beginning to believe that more and more. That's what I feel somewhere in my heart. I feel that it somehow has to be water, because at this stage, water has all the miracle and magical formulas and components of everything in creation. It's the perfect molecular structure. It's a perfect sound frequency, magnetic bonds, electromagnetic bonds, etc. And it seems to be the thing that is in space everywhere. So if space is water, because keep in mind, this whole lie about space being a vacuum, that for me is an absolute lie. So anyone anyone who's done any bit of physics at school or university should have a big problem with that when they're telling us, you know, like the rocket is going up into space and then now, oh, the rocket is about to enter the vacuum of space. This is what they tell us when we watch the rocket launches, and you go, hold on. At which point is there this barrier that the rocket enters this infinite vacuum of space? Stop lying to us. Stop lying to us. So this is, they're coming to get you, because you're revealing the truth.
Can you hear it, by the way? Can you hear the hum? No, it's like a drill at the moment in Israel, using many forces. Some of them from elsewhere, the US, Germany, Italy, I'm not sure. And it's really bad. You know, I don't want to go into that, because this is more interesting and more serious stuff, what we speak about. So let's stick to that. I mean, we can go more and more on this subject, but again, I would like people to get to know you and your work, and please look up Michael Tellinger on whatever platforms you want to look up his name. Don't go on Google, but go on other places. Yeah,
just go to my website, michaeltellinger.com. Easiest.
Excellent. I want to speak, if you don't mind, a bit about so many subjects, man. Can we go a bit more from the 45 minutes?
Yeah, no, go. Let's go a bit longer. You know, look, the important thing that's happening here, Shai, is that hopefully the people that watch it start to realize how everything is connected.
Yes.
And if you don't understand this piece here, how can you possibly understand that? And I discovered that when I started to work with the ancient vanished civilizations of Southern Africa and the ancient ruins, and discovering the technology, the cone-shaped tools, the torus stones, and the magnetrons that they left behind. And I realized, oh my God, these are all tools, are very advanced tools of technology that create phaser beams, that create toroidal fields, that generate energy out of thin air and amplify energy, amounts of energy. And realize that these ancient civilizations are using this technology 300,000 years ago. This is not 3,000 years ago or 30,000 years ago, 300,000 years ago. That's how old these ruins in South Africa are. And then
how,
you discover...
For example, to date something to 300,000 years ago, how is dating done? Because should we trust this dating process? For example, you know what I mean? I mean, it's tricky to know if it's 30,000 or 300,000 according to their scientific ways or methods. I mean, we are a bit stuck here. But anyway, this is not, I don't think this is the main thing. This is just an aspect of the lie. What I want to speak is the truth that you discovered regarding ancient civilizations, ancient structures. I mean, man, we have structures. I'm not talking just about the pyramids. I'm talking about huge, perfect geometry buildings that take in consideration sound frequency, geometry, magnetic waves, and so on. How they made this? We cannot do it. We are so advanced, according to the theory of evolution. We are at the pinnacle of humanity. How they managed to do these things? What do you know about, I mean, in a short way, obviously, what you know about the truth regarding ancient civilizations, ancient structures, energy production, etc.?
Well, excuse me. Sure, one of the benefits that I have here, I'm very fortunate, is that I landed up in what I described as the largest concentration of ancient ruins on Earth. There are more than 10 million circular stone ruins in South Africa and Zimbabwe, Southern Africa, more than 10 million. This is not a small number. So, and until I came along in 2007, nobody knew about this. They knew about some of these stone structures, but they didn't realize how many they were. They didn't realize what they were. They didn't realize who built them, why they were here. And that's really what I started to expose in 2007 because of my knowledge of science, physics, cymatics, the study of sound, frequency and resonance, and how sound manifests and generates energy. And therefore, I could connect the dots and realize that we're looking at a giant energy-generating grid that covers large parts of Southern Africa.
Listen, so, hang on. Sorry, I kind of disturb you. But look, a few months ago, I've seen a movie. Never mind the name now. But I've seen a movie and I was like, wow, this fits with everything I know about cymatics, water, magnetics, frequencies, etc. And my mind, I was like, whoa, hang on. And I kept digging. And what you're describing now regarding Africa, this energy grid, actually, you can find it in so many continents or places around the world. Please go on.
Yes, so exactly. So this is, as you said, it's all over the world. Yeah. And I have found, and many other people have found, stone circles and the same kind of symmetry and same kind of structure, similar kind of structures in other parts of the world. Israel is full of them as well. And all that whole Middle East is full of these ancient stone circle structures as well and other weird shapes. But it's in South Africa, Southern Africa, that you have the very large areas that still are connected, some of the original structures that have no doors and entrances, that have not been manipulated, that are all connected to each other with these little channels, like little, you know, two wires running from one to the other. and you start to measure frequencies and sound, magnetic fields and electromagnetic fields emanating out of these stone walls. So we've done all these experiments. We know this. It's not a theory or we think it is. We know it is because we've measured it and we measure it over and over and over again. Then we also measure, for example, the increase presence of negative ions inside the stone structures, which tells us that it has a physiological effect on the biology inside that stone circle because of the magnetic and electromagnetic fields that are generated. So, so because I discovered the stone circles and the fact that there were energy generating devices and scattered among them, I found thousands of cone-shaped tools and donut-shaped stones or toroidal stones, torus stones, energy-generating devices. We've measured the energy that goes through them. Please watch my website to see what I'm talking about. Go to my YouTube channel, and if you don't find it there, go to my private video channel that you can sign up to on my website. Go to michaeltellinger.com and sign up to Michael's video channel, and there are hundreds of hours of videos, research, showing all the stuff. Some of it is on YouTube as well, on my YouTube channel. So we know what we're talking about. It's not a theory. We don't think it is. We've measured it over and over again. We show it with thermal imaging cameras. We measure it with EMF meters. We measure it with sound frequency meters and very advanced technology with satellite dish kind of technology. And so we understand the ancient advanced technology of the people that built these structures. Now the question is, who were these people? And at this stage, everything points towards the Sumerian texts, Anunna, the Anunna gods of the Sumerian texts, or the Asbay that became known as the Anunnaki, under the leadership of Enki. And then we get into the mining of gold. And how much gold was mined here in Southern Africa is absolutely staggering and mind-blowing. It's just, and you know, even as I speak to you, I'm discovering more and more how gold is mined on a scale that I couldn't even imagine. So I constantly have to keep an open mind to realize that what I know now is just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
And you may need to change bits and bobs in the way you view things in order to fit to the new truth that you discover. And this is so important to stay flexible. I mean, most people are very rigid with the way they see the world and what the government is telling them or the scientific institution or school or what have you. And obviously the media, they stay, this is what I heard, this is probably true. They forgot that so much is unknown, all right? And if they leave the different mediums that they've been lied to from them, through them, suddenly there's flexibility in the brain and you can accept other ideas, and really connecting the dots is what we all need to do now. And to learn from someone with your expertise and experience, it's really great. Thank you for being here with us. I want to ask you regarding gold, because I also drink gold. I know for some time now about that. And I even published it in Israel 10 years ago. People had no clue what I'm talking about. So I stopped, all right. Now there's more obviously urgent things to speak about. Tell us, what is gold? Why it's, never mind the value of gold. Why gold physically or on the physics side of things, why gold?
Well, it's a very important question, because gold is inextricably connected to our presence on Earth. If it wasn't for gold, we wouldn't be here. Because at this stage, everything points to the fact that humanity, the human race, human species, is a clone species by a group of beings called the Anunnaki or the Anunna, and potentially some other beings that got involved and messed with the DNA. And we were cloned and created as slaves in the gold mines. This is not just one civilization talking about it. It's pretty much every ancient culture that talks about humanity being created by the gods or by God, all depends on how you say it, whether it's a plural or singular, that humanity was created and cloned by an advanced group of beings. And in South Africa, by the very high shamans in South Africa are aware of this. And Adam's Calendar, for example, one of the oldest ancient sites on Earth, is known as Inzalo Yelunga, where humanity was created by the gods to be the slaves in the gold mines. So that's how deep this knowledge and information goes. So if it wasn't for the gold, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be created.
And do you know do you know, I mean, I will speak about that in a second, but do you know why gold, why they wanted to mine gold?
Well, the question is, well, the Anunnaki were after the gold. Humans are not interested in the gold.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
and all ancient cultures always talk also, even the sailors that went up, the conquistadors and the thugs from Europe that were sent out to conquer the free world in the late 1400s, wherever they got to, they found the ancient civilizations and the native people, they always had loads of gold. So there was gold mining going on all over the world, whether it's the Americas, North America, South America, yeah. Africa, Asia, Australia. There was gold everywhere. And the question is, what is gold? I mean, today we don't even know where gold comes from. I don't think people realize that there is no consensus among so-called scientists where gold comes from and why gold is in the earth. And this, you know, I talk about that again in the longer discussions on my private video channel. I talk about why, where gold comes from, why it's there. We don't have enough time to go into that. It does not come from space, by the way. So if you tell, you know, somebody tells you gold comes from meteorite strikes, that's all absolute rubbish. That's some nonsensical sci-fi theory that somehow made its way into mainstream science or physics or whatever, geology. Mm-hmm. Geophysics, and it's got absolutely, it's completely devoid of any truth. The important thing is Anunnaki were obsessed with gold. The Sumerian clay tablets are filled with that storyline, the narrative of the Enki and the Anunnaki's obsession with gold, how they looked for the gold on Earth, where they found the gold and how they mined it and the tools they used. And then the species they created, the Adamu race, or the Adam, the Adamu race in the Sumerian text that was cloned and created to be the slaves in the gold mines for the Anunnaki. Southern Africa seems to be the one area where we have overwhelming evidence of that. Enki, presence of ancient gold mines that I've seen, not I don't think they are here, I've seen them and I've walked in them and I've had people that walked in others tell me their experiences. So there's so much knowledge and information about these ancient gold mines. The question still remains, why were they so interested in the gold? And that becomes a very interesting subject. We don't have enough time for that here. But I do recommend that you people join my video channel and start getting to the truth behind this. First of all, the gold that the Anunnaki were after was not the gold that we have, the diatomic gold or the shiny yellow gold that we see. I forgot to mention when the conquistadors and those thugs from Europe invaded all these tribal lands, native lands in the late 1400s, and they found all the gold, where they asked the natives, whose gold is this? And they would always be told, the gold belongs to the gods. The gold belongs to the gods. Okay, keep this in mind. Yeah. And humans were never allowed to have gold. And this is why there is such an obsession with the possession of gold. Yeah. That's the trigger point, because in the beginning, humans weren't allowed to have gold. And then things shifted a little bit. But this is a very long, fantastic, unbelievable story. Why we are obsessed with gold, why we still mine it, why we use it, and where that obsession comes from. You know, if you look at Genesis 2, when God is... When God is describing the land of Havilah to Adam, and Eve has not even been created. Eve does not exist yet. Eve is not being created from Adam's rib. And the narrator says, I want to take you to the land of Havilah, where the land is good, the water is good, and there is gold, because I want you to dig it for me. And in that moment, you realize that there's a huge division in the Bible between the God with a big G, the creator of everything, and the gods with a small g. Just the advanced beings with knowledge of cloning, knowledge of genetics, and knowledge of gold mining. And the two should never be confused. Don't ever cross the line and confuse the creator of the universe and all things in it with the gods of the Bible, or the Elohim, or the Anakim, or the Zamzumim, or the Gibberim, or the Nephilim. Don't confuse those two with the God with a big G. And this is why my book, Slave Species of God, the word God is written with a small g, not with a big G. Because we are cloned by advanced beings. We're not cloned by the creator of the universe and all things in it. The creator of the universe does not need gold, does not need water, does not need anything. The creator is the creator of everything. It does not need gold to sell it to eat it, to drink it, to hang it as necklaces around his or her neck. That's an insane idea, and anyone who believes that needs to be locked up in an asylum.
And first of all, thank you for differentiating between the big G and the small G, because I was just about to do that. So thank you for doing it. I still have something to say about it. But meanwhile, someone just wrote here that God, small G, and gold, similar words. I mean, similar words.
If you take, this is an interesting thing. The L is a shortened version for Elohim. L. Mm-hmm. If you take the L out of gold, you get God.
I didn't get that. Sorry.
If you take the L, Elohim, out of gold, you get God with a big G.
Ah, if you take the L, yeah, the letter L, yeah. But obviously, I hear it also in Hebrew, because we have a word L, which is like a small God, and Elohim. Anyway, let's not go into that, because this is theology and stuff like that. I want just to emphasize this. You divide between the big G and the small G, and this is really important, because, you know, before the flood or the deluge, there were all the genetic experimentation and mismatch and mixing up genetics that these demigods and semigods were doing with men and women. And we are now, I mean, I can see some, you know, resemblance to the period before the flood, which, surprisingly, in a way, is not very much detailed in the Bible. I mean, yes, we have a couple of sentences about it, but that's it. And after, we have so much details about so many things, and it's like something is missing there. But what we live now, here and now, is exactly that. I mean, we don't see it to the max, and thank God, Big G, that we don't see it to the max, and I hope we won't. But what was happening back then, that God, Big G, decided to flood everything in order to delete what was there, because they were ruining and they were mix-matching species. And this is something that we should not do. And now the you know, the world elite, so-called, they want to do exactly that. That's why they deal so much with genetics, and it's like copy-paste to what happened before the flood. But no worries, because Big G, God, said, I will not do another flood. So maybe something else is coming. My hope is kind of for, a pulse or electromagnetic shock or pulse that will basically stop all the digital stuff. Still, we will have machinery, still, you know, the low tech, and we will not be harmed, because we are men and women. And we work on EMFs, proper EMFs, natural EMFs, and they work on non-native EMFs. And there's a big difference here, because this is man-made and this is God's made. So I said quite a lot here, but just to continue your point, it's really important, because even Jews are now relearning the Bible. Or even I, which I'm not a religious guy, but I do believe in God, Big G, I'm thinking, hang on, what I was told about the Bible, although I can read the Hebrew, I did not have the right glasses or the right filter to understand what it's written. And now I do, at least to an extent, a bit more than before. And like me, there's so many non-religious Jews learning, as well as religious Jews relearning their own faith and their own factual book. All right, and this is really interesting, because it's the way you perceive, it's the way you read things and understand them. Not necessarily let's change the words, but let's change the perception about what we think is true, or the sense making that we do out of a text.
So you know, Shai, if I may just say, so you know what you just said there, it's really important, because what you just highlighted is how our religions have been hijacked and stolen,
yes,
by the elite, to push it in a direction and a narrative that they wanted us to believe. So we don't understand what is actually written in our religious texts and the ancient scriptures. And they've done a fantastic job. They used religion and creation and unity consciousness to divide us among religious lines, among racial lines, among every possible division that they could find. And they've done a very, very good job. But I think the unity consciousness that is the barrier, the field from which everything comes, the mind of God, the breath of God, whatever you want to call it. We are part of that. We are part of that frequency. So we're infinite fractals of that. If we are not resonating with the unity, with the harmonic coherence of the Creator, then we cannot exist. We will die. Like that's it. You can't exist in a dissonant field, in dis-ease, in dissonance with the Creator and with creation. And I think that's what's happening right now. So the world and what we're going through is there's a shakeup, and all that's in dissonance with creation is being shaken off. And there could also possibly be, if we accept that infinity, there's infinity of an infinite number of possibilities, an infinite number of dimensions. That means that it's also possible that it could be a shift and a separation of consciousness, and separating the beings into their own bands of frequencies of consciousness. It's like radio stations and TV stations. You can't listen to two TV stations at one time. Yeah. You can, but it's not going to make any sense.
Yeah.
And they fight each other. So people that are of a certain consciousness will suddenly find themselves in an environment that there's no dissonance. There's no one opposing them. Everyone has the same belief systems. And so there's no opposition. There's no enemies, because now we are completely harmonious. We resonate and resonate with each other, and we now can coexist in unity consciousness that is in perfect harmony. And Amen. That, I believe, is what, like, I've been calling that the great cosmic apartheid, like where you separate people of different levels of consciousness into their own fields of consciousness, so there can be no more opposition or conflict. And I quite like that idea, and I'm sort of sticking with it for now. And hopefully that will be the cleansing, that the universe shakes up everything in our own environment. In fact, the last book of the Bible, Revelations, says that there'll be a time where there'll be two men in the field, and suddenly one will be gone when the cleansing comes. So maybe that refers to somehow to that cleansing or separation into separation of consciousness.
I we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully we're still here. Yesterday I had this conversation with a good friend, and he said a couple of things that I want to share with you and also the audience. I thought I would speak about them in Hebrew, but I think it's a good opportunity to bring them up now. He said, look, if you look at the Bible and you see Noah and you see Moses and you see Lot, you know, from Sodom and Gomorrah, the three of them actively left the environment that they were in, all right? Lot and his wife. We'll speak about the wife in a second, but Lot has left Sodom and Gomorrah. Noah had to build the ark and to leave humanity, if you like. And Moses took the people of Israel, those who wanted to go with him, outside of Egypt, all right, to the sea, to the Red Sea. They all left physically the matrix, all right. And where did they go to? They go to the unknown. They went to out to nature, because this is true God, big G, creation. And Egypt is a matrix of the demigods, or the royalty, or so-called. Sodom and Gomorrah was, you know, freaking hell on earth. So obviously you want to leave this matrix. And Noah, after all the genetic manipulation, God told him, look, you build this ark, this and this size, you take all those, etc. Funny thing, none of them was like a saint, or was, they were chosen because they believed God. Maybe they were not the perfect religious believers. They were not following all the duties that now religious people need to follow, but they listened to God with their heart. They believed God, and they follow the big G God, and they stay alive, and they left the matrix, and they created a new frequency or new life in nature, which is through God's creation, big G. Now, the matrixes, whether it's Sodom and Gomorrah, Egypt, or whatever you before the flood, what was here, It was the matrix of the elite. It was the matrix of the royalty. It was the matrix of the demigods. It was not made for man, because see what happened there. That's why man and God, the big G, said, you should go there if you want to stay alive. Listen to me, and you do this, and you will live, and you will prosper. And they've done that, although they were not that much of saints, at least not considered to be. And they didn't even want to do this job, you know, but God told them, you're the right guy to do it. And they were like, well, okay, you know, because they believed God. And in a way, this, you know, this line, this differentiation between those who believe big G God and those who don't, we see it now. If you believe the matrix, you're stuck. And if you don't, you start to listen to God's voice in you, and you follow what you need to follow. Another thing which I want to pinpoint, and this again came up yesterday with a chit chat with a friend, is that the wives, in a way, it's something that goes in generations. The wives, they were kind of pulling back to the matrix. They didn't want to go. Like Lot's wife, she still wanted the matrix, and she turned around and she turned into a salt stone or whatever. And there's other examples. I don't remember all the examples, but it's really interesting. And our job is to really, in a way, leave the matrix of that they built, this prison, yeah, this digital genetic prison that they built or building, and to go back to nature, which is, we are more fit in this creation, because this is big G, God creation.
And so if you live in a big city, get the hell out. Move into the country.
Absolutely. I've been saying it for many years now. Yeah.
What I can tell people, I left Johannesburg 13 years ago, and you know, Joburg is a big city, 10 million people. It's crazy out there. It used to be a fantastic city when I was still less conscious, and in the music business. But just to finish, I think we need to finish now. I've got a next appointment to go to. But when I eventually moved out of Johannesburg into the country, everything changes, and you end up leading a much more peaceful life, much more beautiful life. If you can afford to live in the country, and you don't have to be in the city, get the hell out now. Okay. Don't hesitate for one second. The other important thing is that your cost of life, your cost of living in a small town, is about one quarter of your cost of living in a city.
Generally, in countries
like the USA, Canada, South Africa, Australia, where you've got lots of land, and Brazil, I guess, same thing, you know, where you've got lots of land. Israel would be obviously a very different situation. But in places where, like South Africa, where, you know, you can go and escape, you can be, you know, 500 kilometers away from your nearest town or city, believe me, it is worth it. It is worth it. If you can do that, do it. You'll be eternally grateful. Not everyone can do it, but if you can do it, you'll find your happiness there.
Michael Tellinger, thank you ever so much, really, for these pearls of wisdom. I really enjoyed this conversation. I hope that you did too. Hope to catch up very soon. And for those of you who would like to know more and to learn more from Michael, please go on his website, michaeltellinger.com, and look him up on YouTube and other platforms. Michael, thank you very much. Big G, God bless us all. Thank you.
Thank you, Shai.
All the best.